And what's going on, everybody? The 2 days before the NFL draft, I'm your producer for Jaguars Today and Hack After Dark, Dylan Denmark. Graham Marsh will be beside me momentarily. He does sales and he pretty much is a co-host slash producer for every podcast we put on the 1010XL podcast platform, which is where you can catch this show, Denmark and Marsh. The draft is finally here. Graham, I don't know about you. I'm pretty fatigued. I'm tired of the what if, and this guy does this and this guy does that. This is like the week where I'm like right at my tipping point. I don't know if it's because I know the draft is Thursday, but I'm like, all right, I'm over. Let's see what's going on.
You're not going to miss mock season?
No.
Dude, I love mock season. Man.
I do, but man... I'm going to be honest, like during, I'm at practice for football or track during the middle of the day, so I don't listen to the other shows.
Yeah.
Man, I know we go through our fair share of mocks, and I'm like, okay, this guy's that. I'm like, okay. And it's like, if you hear anything, like it's very different, you're like, okay, like you're just trying to get me to like read something just so I can say it's your guy.
Right.
I just, I don't know. I don't put too much stock into, you know, those kind of things, but.
Do you make a lot of mocks?
No. No,
do you make any?
I've never made one, actually.
In your whole life, you've never made a mock draft?
Never made one.
Like, and you call yourself an American, Dylan?
Yeah, I'm American football.
That is absurd.
Follower.
I know. You know what? It's been a great run.
Yeah.
Our show is canceled. I can't sit idly by and do a podcast with a man who doesn't make mock drafts.
How many have you made?
A few? Countless.
All right.
Dude, I make mocks if I'm at home. And there's just like a little, like if I'm like right now, like NBA playoffs are on, I'm watching it basically every night. If there's like a, like halftime or something during a game, I'm making a mock.
You're making a mock.
I love mocks.
So dude. Some people do TikToks and kill time and you do mocks.
I make mock drafts, yeah.
Do you do trades in your mocks?
Sometimes. It depends on how frisky
I'm feeling. You get a little frisky, okay.
Yeah, so sometimes I'm like, nah, you know, nuts and bolts. Let's just, when the pick comes, let's just make a pick. Let's just draft guys. And other times I'm like, oh, you know, wheeling the deal a little bit, trading back, trading up, doing the stuff, you know? So I do both. But also I always do seven round.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. You're not a top three kind of guy.
No. My thing is if I'm going to do a mock, I want like a full body of draft to work with.
That makes sense.
But it's no fun to just do like a two round and I make my two picks and I'm done. No, I want to keep going. If I make a trade back, I want to be able to use that third round pick I traded back for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, so Thursday, like I was looking at the ratings from last year, millions of people watch the draft and all it literally is a commissioner reading a postcard of a player's name and he's going to go to this team. And there's only going to be 32 of them on the first night and they do rounds 2 and 3 on Friday. And literally everybody watches the draft. If you are even a casual football fan, the NFL draft, unlike the NBA, the MLB, and all of the other professional sports, it gives every single team hope. Other than like the Carolina Panthers, I think you could sell to your franchise or to your fans of your franchise that we are going in the right direction and we are borderline of making the playoffs. I think you could say that for every single team. On top of, you have so many things that could happen, and I'm just speaking for what's going to happen in front of Jacksonville. You could tell me that there's a run on quarterbacks, that six quarterbacks go in the first round. I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. You could say there's a ton of receivers that go in the first round. I could see that. I could also see teams like the Giants, the Broncos, Seattle. You could throw in another team that trade up and get a quarterback that you don't see coming. So that changes your perspective on what the draft goes and how it falls and where it goes to you. And so much of right now is just speculation and lying season, as people are saying right now. Bill Belichick went on with McAfee the other day, and he's like, the only thing that really matters is the real talk is whatever happens the morning of the draft day. When you get the morning of the draft day, that talk, that's serious. Like if somebody's trying to move up to the top five or move back, so on and so forth, that's when it really happens. Right now, it's just lying season and it's just speculation.
Until Thursday morning.
Yes.
Okay. So, do you want or do you think the Jaguars move up or move down or anything? Do you think they stand pat and take a pick of 17 or do you think they move? You have to bet. Gun to your head, you got to bet.
Stay put.
I think so too.
So it's funny. We had Johnny O, the second hour of Jaguars Today, Jaguars senior writer. And he's like, I don't see them trading up. I think they stay put and they get a corner. And I don't see them getting a receiver. So we're like, okay, I'm of the same belief. I'm like, okay. Mia was saying on her show yesterday that anything's still a possibility, that they could still go up and get a receiver in the top 10, that they could give up, you know, their first and a second and then a draft pick for next year. And Trent Baalke said multiple times in his presser, his pre-draft presser last Thursday, that we know what it will take to trade up and get into the top 10. Because if you look at all these mocks, everybody's thinking, you know, if you're going to trade up, you're probably going to get a receiver. Probably. Well, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, and Marvin Harrison, they're not getting past 13. That's almost a concrete fact. Probably earlier than that.
I was going to say, I don't know if they're getting past 10.
Yeah, yeah. I would, at the latest, 13. So if you want to go up and get a receiver and you want to get one of those dogs, like that's what it's going to have to take. And it's going to take a big sacrifice. You're not going to just give up your first round and then another draft pick. You're going to have to give up a first and second and then a draft pick next year to get somebody like that. I would not want that in any situation, just because receiver is a position that whoever you bring in, like, I don't think there is a big difference between Brian Thomas at fourth, the fourth receiver, compared to Ricky Pearsall, who could go 8 or 9. If you have a good offensive coach and you have a good quarterback, that receiver can come in and do really well, because that is a connection. It's not like defensive line where I can just tell you, hey, go rush the passer and you just go. Like, hey, you have the B guy, but you just go. You have to have connection and you got to be on the same page and timing and everything. And the receiver is so much dependent on who your quarterback and who your coach is. I would go corner 1 and I would go receiver 2 in the second round. I would stay put at 17. That's my final analysis where I would stay put.
Counterpoint.
Okay.
Offensive tackle.
I'm fine with it. It would not be one of my top 3 options. I'd go
there's a tackle that fell a few spots. You didn't expect him to fall. You thought he'd go 12, 13 and he's available at 17. There's a corner in the same boat. You're taking the corner.
Yes. No, not even a second thought.
I think I take the tackle.
You really?
Yeah.
So I was more...
And I let Cam Robinson go.
Okay. I was anti-tackle pretty much this whole offseason, and then the closer that we've gotten to the draft, I don't know if it's because I've talked to people, not in the building, just in general, like water cooler talk, I'm more open to taking tackle. So we did like a top 5 list on who you want for the Jags to take in the draft, just period, regardless of the round. I had Faitanu at Washington, that third offensive tackle. Because Joe Wall's probably going to go, and then one of those Oregon State guys is probably going to go. If Faitanu, if they get him, I'm fine with it. I'm not. There's nobody where I'm like really anti. Nate Wiggins, I wouldn't like. I wouldn't take Brock Bowers, even if he's there. It'd feel like a waste. If you get a tackle, if you get Byron Murphy, or if you get a corner, I'm good. Receiver, I wouldn't like, just because the value is not there at 17 to me. That's where I stand.
I tend to believe that they will go corner, and that if I were Trent Baalke on draft night and things play out how I kind of feel like they're going to play out, I would probably end up taking a corner as well, because I believe that some of those top tackles, the Faitanus of the world, the Fuagas of the world, the Joe Alts of the world, will all be gone by 17, and I don't think there will be necessarily great value, because I think the thinking in terms of prospects is by the time you get to 17, the next tackle that is available, there will be a pretty sizable gap between him and whoever was taken before him at probably 12, 13. I don't believe the same with corner. I think it's much more likely at corner, maybe not Quinyon Mitchell specifically, because I think the general consensus is getting stronger and stronger and stronger that he's that guy, and he's going to go as early as someone is willing to take a corner in this draft. But I think it's pie in the sky that Faitanu is available at 17. I don't think it's pie in the sky that Terrion Arnold is.
No.
Or I know you're not big on Nate Wiggins. I don't think I am either necessarily. He's a little small.
Kool-Aid will be
Kool-Aid
there.
Kool-Aid will definitely be there, I think, for sure. Kool-Aid, it's more are you
worried about the injury?
Are you giving up some value there with Kool-Aid, yeah, in my opinion? But I just think the overall stable of corners, there's more likely to be someone that you think is good value at 17 that would have been worthy of like 14, 15, or maybe even a little bit sooner to take there. Versus I don't know if it's going to play out that way at tackle. We see this every year. There's always a run on certain positions. To me, the run on positions this year within the top 15 is QB, who that doesn't matter for Jacksonville. Please. Let's get 8 QBs drafted in the first round for the Jaguars.
More guys for us.
QB, there will for sure be a run on. Receiver, I don't know if 3 players counts as a run. I guess in the top 15 it does. I mean, you're talking about you're getting close to almost a third of the top 15 picks. So I guess it is. Those 3 guys I think we just talked about will for sure go probably in the top 10, if not at worst top 12, 13. So there'll be a run, like those 3 guys will be gone, and I think tackle's the other position that there's a big run on. After that, and this is a little bit of my issue with potentially trading up, is even if it's not at one of those key positions of need that the Jaguars need, you said it, Brock Bowers maybe, Jared Verse maybe, someone like that is going to fall to 17. There will be someone, I don't know if it's going to be at receiver or DB or tackle, but someone at some position is going to be there at 17 where the entire draft is going to be saying, how the hell is this guy still on the board? And the Jaguars could take a guy of extreme value. Again, it may not be of a huge need. If it is Brock Bowers, I don't necessarily disagree with you that position-wise it could be a waste, even though he's going to be so good that obviously they'll make it work. That'd be a tough night for Brenton Strange. But someone like that's going to be there. And I don't know that I would want to trade up and sacrifice the opportunity to get that guy, not for free because you're using your first round pick, but you know what I mean. Like without having to give up any sort of compensation to move up, somebody like that that's way overqualified to be picked at 17 just falls to you.
And with Jacksonville right now, there are needs just like every team. But it doesn't feel like there's a desperate need. It's not like we don't have a left tackle and
it isn't tackle from last year.
Right. Because I remember last year, like the Jets were in desperate need of a tackle. They wanted a tackle for Aaron Rodgers. And they were like the 15th pick.
Yeah.
And the Patriots were right before them. And because Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, he calls the Steelers, who they knew they needed a tackle. And the Steelers got a tackle that was really good right before the Jets. I don't see a situation that something of that, and they were in the middle of the pack. They were like 14, 15, 16. I don't think Jacksonville is kind of in that spot. There's a pool of players of about 25, 26 guys where you could sell me that they could get, and I'd be fine with.
25 guys?
There's about
That's
25.
A big pool. I don't know if it's that big for me. It's probably 15 for me.
Okay.
Which is still big. I mean, that's still a lot for a first round pick in the draft in the teens. 25 might be a little big, but I mean, okay, so is like, so you say that, so is like Brock Bowers in that list?
Yeah, I mean, of consideration, yeah.
I think I agree. Not just him specifically, but like just that type of guy in terms of this is not a position of need, but he's that good and that valuable.
His talent is too good, man. Like, yeah.
Verse, I think you're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Edge is not, like, you got your 2 starting edges. But damn, could I use Jared Verse in the rotation too? The hell yeah.
So it's like we talked about this on the show today. I was picking between, you know, who would I want in the draft, Byron Murphy or Jared Verse, one of the two. I go Byron Murphy because he's an interior guy. It's a lot harder to find interior guys as opposed to edge.
It is.
And there's not a starting role for Jared Verse day one. There is for Byron Murphy. So you could have Byron Murphy, Armstead, Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker as opposed to having those 3 guys, and then who would your other interior guy be? Devon Hamilton, and then Jared Verse running in the rotation. I mean, I'm not completely for one over the other, but if I had to pick one, I'm taking Byron Murphy because he's your day one starter. I mean, that is a hard sell to your fans that, hey, we're drafting a guy at 17 in the first round, and he's going to be a rotation guy.
Yeah, that's true. I also am not going to be mad at any just large human beings they draft.
Yeah.
Any big people, I'm probably going to be good with.
You can never have enough D linemen. Never.
Or O-linemen.
Oh, yeah, offensive line too. But D-line specifically, like...
Because they rotate, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not as... Like, in the NFL, you don't rotate nearly as much as college, but, like, you look at all those Georgia defensive linemen, like, all those guys, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, all of them, like, they Trayvon. Never played more than, like, 40, 50% of the snaps because they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Because they weren't 8-9 deep.
Right.
And if you stay fresh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know...
No. You're getting very close to max effort from guys on every play.
Yeah.
Versus typically if you got a guy that's got to play almost every snap on defense, like I don't care how in shape they are, I don't care how much they try. You don't get 100% effort on every play. That's not how it works. On the D-line if they play every position or if they play every play, sorry.
Yeah. What are the odds they trade back? I'd still say I give them more odds they trade back than trade up.
I do too, because that's just Balky's MO. Balky's a trade back, get extra value, get extra picks type of guy. But here's what's going to frustrate me if they do it. I'll tell you this, and this was they did this last year. They traded back twice in the first round, and they still got Anton, which was great. And there's this thought of, oh, Balky's wheeling and dealing, he's accumulating this value, still got the guy he wants, blah, 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 and that's great. That's awesome. I had no problem with that. But man... Like, it needs to be something of value you're getting back. Like, there were two last year. There were just too many late round picks that didn't do anything.
And oh, it was almost all of them.
Then that, like, I'm not. I think the only one that ended up being much was, or I guess,
Antonio
I guess
Johnson.
I guess Antonio Johnson and Parker Washington. Was Parker Washington a fourth round pick? Was he a little
I think
bit
it was
sooner?
Sixth.
Okay, then I guess he's part of it. So I guess that's fine. You got two guys, but still, Like, who's that? Like, they had that fullback they drafted,
yeah.
Right? Didn't they draft Derek Parrish?
Mm-hmm. And they had Tyler Lacy, Brent Strange, Tank Bigsby.
Abdullah.
Yep, Yasir Abdullah. He played 40 snaps, I think, all year.
The jury's still out because he was hurt last year on the guy from App State, the lineman.
Cooper Hodges.
So maybe he adds to the list of guys that contributed in those late rounds. But, I mean, if you're trading back... Can I trade back and get a third or at least a fourth? Can I trade back and it not be a sixth?
So here's the real question.
I don't care about the sixth. I don't care about the guard from Temple that we get in the sixth round. I want a third round guy that can compete and play right away. I want to if you draft a guard in the third round, I want a guy that's going to be on Ezra Cleveland's ass and competing for a starting spot, you know? Like, that's what I'm looking for if they trade back.
Here's the question. With how bad that, other than Anton, that they traded back and they accumulated all these picks, and they didn't perform in year one, does that say for you Thursday that I don't want them to do that this year?
Yes.
So yeah. you do want them to still trade back, or are you against it?
No, well, I'm saying it's like what I was saying a minute ago. Like, if they trade back, fine. But I
only do it for third and fourth guys.
Yes. Okay. Like, I'm tired. I don't want the trade backs for more seventh round picks, man. Like, I don't care about that. And again,
how do you find those diamonds in the rough, Graham? How you do it?
Like, look, trade back because you're increasing the chances of getting an Andre Sisko.
Or, like a productive guy that you're going to have on the field.
Yeah, versus Derek Parrish. Or no disrespect, but come on, man.
Or like a Shaq Quarterman that you had a couple
years
ago.
Yeah, exactly. Like, trade back because you think you're going to get an extra third, or you can move up further in the third round or something, and it really does. Like, look, they had to give up their third round pick for Ridley, for the Ridley deal.
Uh-huh.
Did they ever receive that comp pick that they were supposed to get?
Yes, it's 96.
It's like the last pick of the third round, yeah. I'm pretty sure. So it's effectively a fourth round pick.
Pretty much.
It's
added to the very end of the third round.
Can we wheel and deal a bit and maybe move back for a team that's desperate to move up in the first round and also swap thirds and get what's effectively a fourth round and make it like a mid to early fourth? And do that? Like, that type of stuff I'm good with. Let's do that. Like, let's make deals. Like, let's... That stuff I'm totally fine with. And maybe that does mean you get in the third receiver you feel really good about, you know, and there is that extra value like we talked about at receiver. Maybe that's where you get it. Maybe that's where you get a DB. Maybe that's where you get a rotational D tackle. Maybe that's where you get another edge. Like, that I'm cool. Trading back, I'm not anti or pro. It's trading back for what? If we're trading back for 2 sixths, I'm not interested.
I'm speaking more from the fan. A lot of the fans are saying that Balky did this last year and it didn't work, so don't do it this year. I don't believe in that. Every draft is different. Some years you hit, some years you don't.
Don't do it this, in my opinion, don't do it this year in the same way. Trading back's fine. Don't trade back for more sixths. I have no interest in that whatsoever. Trading back, nothing wrong with trading back. If you trade back from 17 to 24 because maybe someone's obsessed with Brian Thomas and they really want him and they want to jump up.
Yeah, fine by me.
Ahead of a team that's at 19 and wants him. That's fine. Sure, take advantage of that by all means. But again, let it be what you're getting back needs to be something that is more worthwhile.
And another, like, some, obviously everybody's obsessed over the first round and getting that right. You win the draft late day two and day three, getting those guys that you're paying literally pennies on the dollar, and those guys that are producing for you and playing, and you really didn't expect to. That's how you win in the draft. We've always looked at the last couple of years, CJ Henderson not doing well, Taven Bryan not doing well, LaVisca Chenault not doing well. But then you look at the rest of the draft and it's like, okay, what else do those guys do? You know, that's where you get your money. Honestly, I haven't really spent too much time outside of the first round. The only guy that I would really have my eye on and who I want just because I've seen him is Ricky Pearsall, but everything that I've seen, he's probably going to go in the 30s, like early second round, so he's probably not going to be available in that second.
I wouldn't even be shocked if he went late first, dude. If
really?
He
went, I would be a little surprised by that.
I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, no way. Yeah,
your jaw wouldn't be on the floor.
Yeah, if he goes, and it wouldn't be, you know, before the 30s. It'd be like, you know, if he's picked third, what if the Chiefs take him, dude? Would that shock you?
No, that wouldn't shock me.
I mean, Rashee Rice just got in trouble. The Florida receiver that's on their roster can't catch a cold.
Yeah, and then he wants to go on social media and bash everybody.
Yeah, I mean, their receiver room is horrendous, dude. Would you be shocked?
Like, no.
What if the Chiefs are sitting there at 32 and the top three are obviously going to be gone, but what if after that, you know, Brian Thomas is gone? After Brian Thomas, dude, like Ricky could be the fifth guy, right? Who am I missing?
Like maybe A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy.
Okay, you're right. I forgot about the Texas guys. You're right. Totally forgot about them. They could go in the 20s easy.
Like,
no problem.
And here's another team, the Bills. They got rid of Diggs and Gabe Davis and like...
The Bills are more desperate to take a receiver this year than I think the Jaguars were to take a tackle last year. And that's saying a lot because once Cam got suspended and they let Jawan Taylor walk... I mean, it was clear last year in the draft, the Jags had no choice but to draft the tackle. The Bills, dude, what are they going to do? Are they going to walk out there next year with...
Mac Hollins from the Raiders and
Shakir being their wide receiver one? They can't do that.
They're going to run a lot of three tight end sets with Knox and Kincaid. And...
Dude, they might draft like two or three. Probably not three, but they'll draft probably two receivers in this draft. I bet they'll draft one of the first. They'll have like a high-priced guy that they... make a substantial investment in. Probably at this point, the way things are shaking out, I would imagine it'd be one of those Texas guys because those would probably be the top guys available by the time they pick. They pick what, like 26, 27, something like that?
Yeah, because they lost in the divisional, so they're right there, late 20s.
I would be willing to bet of any of like, because we know how it goes. We've talked about this. Late, once it gets to like back half of the first round, a lot of things are a crapshoot. I'll make a bet right now, a ball knowledge bet right here.
Okay.
When the first round's over, Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy will be a Buffalo Bill. How's that for a prediction?
I can see that.
And then, because I think by that point, obviously we've talked about the top three guys are gone. Brian Thomas will probably be gone. I would think between... when the Jags pick, because I bet he'll be available when the Jags pick, and I don't think they take Brian Thomas. So if the Jags are a 17 and Brian Thomas is available, and the Bills say, let's say 26, I'll double check, I'm not totally sure, but let's say they pick 26, I bet Brian Thomas goes in there. And then I bet one of the Texas guys ends up in Buffalo. And then, once those guys are gone, again, if I'm missing anybody else, please remind me. I don't think I am at this point. Next up, dude, we're talking Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, Ricky Pearsall. It's the next three guys. And yeah. Keon Coleman, yes. Dude, I'm telling you, Ricky Pearsall could go in the first round. Or Keon Coleman. I mean, if the Chiefs might want more of a bigger body, like X type of guy, and take Keon Coleman. Dude, I'm telling you, because there's going to be this run on receivers, I really think some of these guys that we keep talking about second, third round could go in the first. Receivers that important in this day and age of football.
Yeah, and then it gets so that you go from that to something we've seen from in the years past where obviously the Jacksonville doesn't have an early second round. They're in the middle, but you have those guys that have those questions of, you know, health or whatever the reason may be. And those guys that should have went in the first round go early second. That's a situation that hasn't been talked about enough. You know, how many times have we seen, you know, Miles Jack a couple years ago was expected to go top five and falls to the second round. I think Jawan Taylor was expected to go first round, falls to the second.
Jawan Taylor, that entire draft cycle, was constantly mocked to the Jaguars with their top 10 pick at number 7, which they ended up using on Josh Allen. And Jawan Taylor was constantly the guy mocked to the Jaguars then. Fast forward to the next day of the draft, and he's still there early second, and the Jags went up and got him. Honestly, a really, really nice value pick. He had good years here and then went and got paid somewhere else, and Jags got a comp for him.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things that are on the table, and I could believe all of it. The one thing I don't believe is going to happen is they trade away their first rounder and they go get a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins. I don't think that happens.
It's just not. That's just not a Trent Baalke thing to do. I mean, what has he done in his career as a GM, which is a very big sample size? We're talking like a decade's worth of sample size between San Fran and here. He doesn't do really aggressive big trades like that. That's not really how he operates. He's a wheel and deal trade back.
What's the most aggressive thing Trent Baalke's done in Jacksonville?
Trade up back into the first round to get Devin Lloyd, I think.
Okay, I was going to say Calvin Ridley, but the more I think about it, it was more of a not a lot of risk and a high reward kind of thing.
You were at worst giving up a second round pick.
Right.
I think it's trading up back into the first round to get Devin Lloyd was probably the most like aggressive thing they've done.
And what did they give up to get him? Do you remember roughly?
They obviously pick swapped. They had a pretty early second. They obviously pick swapped, and then I don't know what else they gave the Bucks. They traded with the Bucks. I know that. I know for a fact that was the team they dealt with.
I'm looking it up, see if I can get it. But yeah, it's they traded the 27th pick. Lloyd is the second additional pick. And I'm not getting stuff. Whatever.
Great podcasting.
yeah, Jags go corner first round, hopefully. That's where I'm happiest. If you want to go tackle, fine. I don't want to see receiver. If you want to go D-line, that's fine. And that's really the main needs for the team, and that's where I'm fine with.
So we've talked a lot about that first pick, but look at it this way. The first four rounds are over. Okay. Let's say the Jags picked, because we don't know what they'll do with trades. Let's say in those first four rounds, we'll keep it clean and simple, they picked four times. We don't know the names. Obviously, that matters. What four positions are you hoping those four picks are?
In the fourth round?
They've picked...
Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh?
No. The fourth round is over at this point.
Okay. Who do you hope they take in the first four rounds?
They've picked one, two, three, right. Four.
Corner one, receiver two. Three or four go D-line, then tackle.
I have the same exact positions, but I have a different order.
All right.
At this point, I've shifted a little bit in the last few weeks. I think at this point, tackle first. And this isn't necessarily saying that when we say tackle first, I'm not necessarily saying the first round pick has to be a tackle. I'm just saying, like, this is the number one position that through the four rounds, I think they need to get a player of.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Tackle, then corner, then receiver, then D-line.
Okay.
I think that's how I'd go. And D-line, and I think you and I are in agreement here, if you go edge because it's great value and you get a guy you didn't expect to be there, that's okay. I can live with that. In an ideal world, I'm hoping that D-line is an interior guy. I'm hoping that's a trenches guy. 300-plus pounds, big old boy, commands a double team. That's the type of D-lineman that's kind of on my wish list right now. And offensive line, I think at this point it needs to be a tackle. Still wouldn't mind some depth at guard, but guard, I think that they can go fifth round, sixth round, whatever. Guard's fine. Because I'm not saying it's my favorite. I'm not saying that I think this is necessarily the right move, but it's pretty obvious that opening day, Sheriff and Cleveland are your starters. They re-signed Shatley. He's your backup for both, and he's your backup center. They're fine for right now. They don't desperately need one. I'd like them to add some more competition. Cooper Hodges might even be a guard. I think he is going to be a guard, actually, when he comes back. So there's some guys there. I wouldn't mind them taking another flyer on a late-round guy and seeing what he brings you there. In the early draft, though, making an investment, I want tackle. I think I want tackle above all else. Now that I've kind of let it marinate over a couple weeks, I've entertained receiver, I've entertained corner. I just think, man, nothing else we're talking about. We've been talking for what, like 30 minutes now? The first 30 minutes of what we've said is completely useless and does not matter whatsoever who they take, when they take them, what they trade up, trade back, whatever, if they don't protect 16.
I'd agree.
If we're a couple games into the year, man, and 16 is running for his life and he's on his back all the time and he's getting hit all the time and he's got an ankle again, he's got a knee again, he's got ribs, he's got shoulders, he's got a concussion, he's got something, this is all useless.
Yeah, then it gets blown up and Balky and Peterson aren't here and they probably move on from Trevor and then we're going back to square one.
So that brings me to another point real quick on this, and I'll bring it back to the draft after we discuss this real quickly. We believe that all five opening day offensive line starters are in-house right now, correct?
Yes.
As it currently stands, we believe that left tackle is Cam Robinson, left guard is Ezra Cleveland, center is Mitch Morse, right guard is Brandon Sheriff, and right tackle is Anton Harrison, right? That's who we think if the first game was played today, that's who would go out there to protect Trevor, right?
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it.
Good, bad?
I'm not, like, feeling good, but I'm not, like, terrible. I think it's a middle-of-the-road offensive line in the league.
If a 10 is, I think this is the Eagles' offensive line of the last few years, and a 1 is Trevor's going to die.
I'm 6.5.
Like, I'm probably around the same. I'm probably 6.5.
I mean, Doug, he said time and time again.
I think
again,
I'm the same.
Doug has said time and time again, he believes in these guys, man. And I, regardless of what you want to say, and that you think they should do this and do that, and that they were hurt, and they, of those four guys, obviously Ezra came late in a trade. Those guys only played once together, and they were nowhere near healthy week 18 against Tennessee. So I'm going to go off his word.
And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? I felt like one thing that kind of bothered me throughout the offseason, whenever he's spoken with the media, I kind of felt like Doug was using the injury excuse a little bit too much. That said, I can feel that way without thinking he's completely wrong. Does that make sense?
Like, yes.
I think that his point that those guys barely got to play together the whole year, I think that's a valid and a fair point. And I do think you know this probably better than I do because you've been on coaching staffs even in high school. Like, continuity on the offensive line is very important.
It's everything. It's the only position group in football where you have to work hand in hand. You have to work together.
And so I think that Doug's point is valid, and I think it's fair. At the same time, I think he used it a little too much, and it started to feel a little bit too much like an excuse.
There's reasons and there's excuses, and it felt like what they said last year was a lot of excuse.
I think it was in the, it's like I'm saying, I think it was in the middle. I think it was a re-excuse. You know what I'm saying? It was like not like it was valid, but at the same time, like, you guys still didn't do good enough.
Well, I mean, it was like all those injuries that happened Monday night against Cincinnati, and they still should have won.
Yes, correct. And also, too, by the way, listen, the main problem I had with it is, again, it matters. The continuity is important. You need to be together. I understand all that. But look across all 32 teams and please show me a team that had all five offensive line starters play all year. There might have been a few. It's very, very rare. I mean, you're gonna have attrition, man. It's the NFL. It's a 17-week season. If you think all five linemen are gonna play every week, you're crazy. And he's not saying that he thinks they're gonna play every week. He's just saying they barely played at all. And again, the truth is somewhere in the middle. They use the injury excuse a little too much, in my opinion, specifically Doug. But it's valid. But I think if they do have more health and they do get to play more this year, they will be better. Plus, they replaced the center, which was the most important thing they had to replace, because Luke Fortner by the end of the season was unplayable, in my opinion. In my opinion, back to this excuses thing, at some point when that drought was getting really, really bad, when they were really starting to lose every week and you could tell that they were just a shell of their former self, at some point in that instance, they needed to bench Luke Fortner and put Tyler Shatley in at center. That was my opinion. They should. There was no excuse for leaving Luke Fortner out there when he'd been that poor and he'd been playing that poorly. So, look, the reason I brought all that up and the reason we just had that conversation is I think I feel a little bit more strongly that they need a tackle than you do, but I think you would agree that they need to come away at some sort of draft pick that you feel like can contribute to this team in 2024 needs to be an offensive lineman at some point, right?
Yes.
You would say, and it should probably be a tackle.
Yes, 100%.
And I still can't, you know, when we're talking about the contract too, like I still just can't justify Cam Robinson. I still can't justify the fact that I can save $16 million if I move on.
Oh, I know. I think there's a lot of people that are in your same boat.
Or at least save something else by restructuring. And I think right now the reason that hasn't happened is because the Jaguars don't have anybody in-house that they feel good about replacing. It's a huge indictment on Walker Little. They clearly don't believe in Walker Little. I don't know why. I'm not an offensive line evaluator. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know all about his footwork and what he's doing right and wrong and everything. But they clearly don't believe in him, right?
And he's a right tackle, and he's played virtually everywhere.
If they believed that Walker Little could be an every week starter for this team, there's no way Cam Robinson would still be here.
No, yeah, he'd already.
No way.
It'd be Walker would be at right, Anton would be at left.
Yes.
That's what would happen if they believed in him at right tackle.
The minute that they could, when this offseason hit, they would have let Cam walk. They would have said, Cam, it's been real, but here's your guaranteed money going out the door, and good luck the rest of your career. Anton, you are our left tackle. Walker Little, you are our right, exactly like you said. And maybe fourth, fifth round, something like that, we'll draft a swing tackle. But right now, they clearly don't believe in Walker Little, like we said, and that's a problem. Like Doug's sitting here talking about it. Our starters didn't play enough together. Well, you drafted, he didn't draft, but they drafted this guy in the second round a few years ago. Yeah, Why is he not more important to this team?
He hasn't worked out.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, all right, let's move on to the NBA real quick before we get out of here. I got like a little less than 10 minutes. Graham convinced me to watch the NBA playoffs, man. I watched the final minute of the Knicks, which was great, but like,
I have to convince you to watch it?
I have no interest in watching the playoffs. Like, I don't know. Dude, I don't know what's changed from me watching a lot of the NBA playoffs to now it's like I don't care to watch it during the week.
The NBA playoffs are freaking awesome. First of all, you didn't hear about the Lakers Nuggets from last night?
Yeah, I saw the highlight.
Dude, I watched it live. It was awesome. I mean, I like the Lakers and I like LeBron, so I was kind of upset they lost.
That's the thing. It's like, only thing that's getting me to a TV is LeBron and Steph. Steph's out and LeBron's down 0-2. And I already knew that LeBron wasn't going to beat Denver.
Jokic can't bring a new TV?
No.
Luka Doncic can't bring a new TV?
No.
What?
Like, I know they're good, but it just doesn't. It's not like,
these guys are playing
a Sunday at 3:30. I need to stop what I'm doing and watch.
Anthony Edwards can't bring you to a TV?
He's probably the number one.
I think I figured it out. You hate un-American players.
Yeah, that's
you hate them. That's your problem.
That's what it is.
Dylan Denmark hates non-Americans. You heard it here. He doesn't like Jokic. He doesn't like Luka.
Luka, I don't like Wimby.
I said Anthony Edwards. He was all in.
Wimby's the only guy.
That's a damn shame, sir.
Man, the way that dude dunks is like stupid.
It is. It is. I wish.
Insane.
I wish he was in the playoffs. So, convince you to watch the playoffs. I'll give you this. Both games with the Nuggets. I know the Nuggets won both, and they're probably going to win this. I bet they beat the Lakers in 5 or 6. Because I just don't think the Lakers are going to be able to beat them in Denver.
No.
Like, it's clear. I mean, if they didn't win last... Dude, they were up 17. They were up 20 and still lost. There's not going to be another position in this series where they're going to be in Denver up 20. It's not going to happen. So for them to lose, that was devastating for them to lose that game. So I bet the Nuggets win in 6 or 7, or not 7, 5 or 6. But they've shown me, the Nuggets have shown me that they're more beatable than I maybe thought they would be in the Western Conference. Everyone's kind of thinking and chalking it up to it's going to be Nuggets Celtics in the finals. And we'll have a great finals because people really don't know who's going to win out of those. Those two have been pretty much head and shoulders the best teams in the league. I know the Nuggets don't have the one seed. I know it's the Thunder, but we all know that doesn't matter. I think the Nuggets could get upset before they make the finals.
To who? It's not the Suns.
It's not the Suns, no. It won't be the T-Wolves. T-Wolves are a little too young, in my opinion, still. It could be the T-Wolves, actually. Because the T-Wolves have the bodies inside to potentially slow down Jokic, even though Gobert's had a tough time against Jokic when they've played. But between Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, you at least in theory and on paper should have some bodies you can throw Jokic's way. You have Anthony Edwards who can guard Jamal Murray and can get his. They could do it. They could be a team. The Thunder have the one seed. I don't think the Thunder... As I go through this, I don't like the matchups as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, I think Boston gets it this year. The very minimum basketball that I've watched, I think Boston finally gets it, and they beat Denver.
First round, I'll go through a couple series and convince you to watch them.
You got to have a good player. You got to have a player that makes me want to watch.
Okay. Suns-Wolves. Kevin Durant versus Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards gets me to a TV.
Plus, you throw in Devin Booker, too, and Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I mean, they were on the TV the other day, and I don't remember them. I don't remember watching them.
You're watching Anthony Edwards play against and talk trash to his idol in Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant was his favorite player growing up, and now he's giving him buckets and letting him know. That's awesome. If I can't convince you to watch that, I don't know if you're going to love. You're just going to like it enough. Knicks and Sixers, great series, great game.
Brunson's came along.
Knicks, but you like college hoops a decent amount. Yeah. You're not like obsessed, but like college hoops. What's cool about the Knicks Sixers thing is all the Knicks' best players went to Villanova.
Yeah, they're right there,
which is kind of crazy. Joel Embiid is not of this world. He's insane. Tyrese Maxey is ridiculous.
Yeah, you got to go with 6 seconds left on the clock, bro.
I know.
That was bad.
Jalen Brunson, one of the most fun players in the NBA to watch. So that's a good series. There's another series. Lakers-Nuggets is a good series. I know the Lakers keep losing, but it's a fun series. I mean, that game was incredible last night. That was like box office stuff. So there's multiple series to watch, in my opinion, and just like any playoffs, as it gets deeper and deeper, it'll get better and better. As Celtics, if it does go chalk and it's Celtics-Nuggets in the finals, that'll be box office. I bet that goes 6 or 7 games. That should be hella fun.
All right. I'm ready to get out of here. Any last draft? I'm done with the draft. I'm glad this is our last pod pre-draft. And then we'll do one Friday morning. That's cool with you. And we can react and... I'll be fine with it, but most people will probably dislike who we take in the first round. And we'll react for the whole, whatever, 30, 45 minutes.
Depends on who it is. If it's a receiver, people will be obsessed with it.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Fans want glamour.
I don't think they go.
Fans want glamour positions in the early rounds. Yeah. That's how
Jags go corner first round.
I won't lie, man. There's a good amount of fan in me that when I'm watching the draft, I'm talking now about tackle and all that, and that's what I think is a smart play. But when I'm watching the draft, and you know it gets going, and you hear the beeps or you hear the little tones, and you know you see a receiver go off the board, and you see his highlights, and they roll him and talk about him. It kind of makes you like,
yeah,
let's take a receiver.
Yeah,
it gets you into it. It's like, all right,
Jags go Terry Arnold at 17.
Final answer.
That's my final answer.
Jags go. Damn, put me on the spot here. Jags go
running back from Florida State. No, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Why is this harder than I thought it
would be? I don't know.
All right. You're not gonna like it. Jags go Nate Wiggins. Pick 17.
You think that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Jeez, that'll be a fun show Friday. I know that much. Not for us. I'm talking about for Jaguars today. Boy, those phone lines will be going loaded. I don't think a soul is going to be happy. But
the phone and text lines don't like Nate Wiggins. They're not Wiggins fans.
Hate him.
Who do the text line and phone lines love? Who are their guys? I'm sure there's a lot of
Thomas.
Yeah.
It's a mix of Byron Murphy, Terrion Arnold, because they expect Mitchell to be gone. Those three, and then like any of those top tackles that are available. That's really pretty much.
Fautanu is supposed to be the best run blocker in the draft.
Yeah. That's been one of the tackles.
Yes, please.
That's one of them, so.
If you give me a guy that's, quote, the best run blocker in the draft, I'm in. Sold.
All right. That's it for us. We'll talk to y'all Friday. First round reaction, hopefully. And we'll talk to y'all then. See y'all in Denmark and Marsh.